In a fast-paced society that is continuously searching for truth, the Bible has the answers that will bring true joy and lasting satisfaction. We invite you to join us for Truth for Today with Dr. Neil Jackson. Dr. Jackson's verse-by-verse preaching will answer your deepest questions from God's holy word.
How committed are you to Scripture? How committed are you to dialoguing about Jesus every day of your life?
So open your Bible and your heart to hear Truth for Today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. I love the Gospel of John because it's all about Jesus. On every page and in every chapter, we see Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Jesus was trying to convince people 2,000 years ago that they needed Him, but they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And that's what we see in our day. People, they want nothing to do with Him, but they desperately need Jesus. If this sermon is a blessing to you today, you can receive it with your generous donation. If you would like to receive the entire series, request it with your donation of $50 or more. The Gospel of John, Volume 5. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, "Them is fighting words." And depending upon what we say and to whom we say it, there are certain things that we say that could be fighting words. Now, I'm not going to say any of those things because it could tick some people off. But what Jesus said to these Pharisees were fighting words. And they were more than just fighting words. They were killing words. They were crucifying words. And you say, well, what did he say? Well, he talked about the exclusivity of Christ. The exclusivity of Christ is the most hated doctrine in America today. You say, what is that? Here's what it is. That there is one way to heaven. And that one way is Jesus. You can quote John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And they don't care. The exclusivity of Christ is a cardinal doctrine of Scripture. But there is nothing that causes a fight more in some arenas than that cardinal doctrine. Now, you remember John chapter 7. You remember John chapter 8. The Feast of Tabernacles is going on. It's a feast that commemorated the children of Israel's exodus from Egypt. It was an 8-day celebration of how God provided water in the wilderness. There were two great ceremonies during this feast. The pouring out of water that the priest would do upon the altar. And the second one was the illumination of the temple. So what the priests would do, they would have these four gigantic candelabras. And they would be, like historians tell us, 75 feet tall. So they would have ladders, and they would go up these ladders, and the top of them, they would have these large buckets of oil where they would light these candelabras, and literally the Temple Mount would be like a runway. It would be so bright. So in this environment, they're having a big party. They're dancing. I know that some of the Baptists are going to struggle with that. They're having a celebration. In this environment, Jesus comes up and he makes the statement of verse 12. Singing, dancing, celebration. It's like a Georgia Bulldog tailgate party. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Now you realize I am is the most sacred of God's names. So it was Yahweh. And you realize it put a damper on their party. You say, well, why did Jesus say that? And what did Jesus mean when he said it? Three truths today about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sermon I'm entitling, Let There Be Light. First truth I want you to see. Notice, Jesus the Son, he illuminates. Look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, he is in the court of the women, where the treasury is. They're singing, they're dancing, they're celebrating. The candle is just being lit. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. What's he saying? Very literally, he is saying, I am God. Light is one of the three descriptions used for God. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is described as spirit. God is spirit. You go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. You go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, I am God. Everybody there in that courtyard understood what he was saying. As the light of the world, he would illuminate spiritual truth for the world. The world in that time was in darkness, just like it was at creation. And Jesus saying, I am coming to bring light, just like we did at creation. I'm coming to bring spiritual light to lighten up the darkness of this world. Now think about our day. Think about our culture. Think about the woke culture that we're living in. It's getting darker and darker and darker. What's the answer? The answer is Jesus. The answer is our culture needs the light of the gospel. John says he was the life and the light of men. I don't know if this happens to you, but the older I get, the more I can't sleep at night. So in the middle of the night, I get up. Sometimes I go get some milk. So sometimes, more often, I get some milk and cookies. Sometimes I just go and I read, I work. Sometimes I stub my toe. Usually Tracy never says anything because she's asleep. Here's what she doesn't do. She doesn't laugh at me when I stub my toe. She doesn't call me names when I stub my toe. Because she's asleep. We're living in a world that's getting darker and darker and darker. Listen, Jesus illuminates. It means Jesus brings light to a dark world. So when our world stubs their toe, or when the people we work with stubs their toe, we're not to laugh at them. We're not to call them names. We're not to point out, oh, you. We're not to look down our nose at them. It hurts when you stub your toe. In the middle of the night with a glass of milk and a cookie in your mouth, I wish I had somebody to rub my toe because there's milk all over my stomach and all over my shirt and there's milk all over the ground and I'm hurting. And a lot of us Christians, at our woke culture, we're laughing at them and we're ridiculing them and instead of showing them mercy. Can I get a witness today? That's where they are. And they need Jesus. You know, I don't know about this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That's our world. They are in darkness and they don't even know why they're stumbling. 93 million miles away. You know, the sun is just a star, just a local star, only 93 million miles away. If you can go to Mars, why can't you build a galaxy just to go and do an orbit around the sun? It's my thought. If you were to go from one end of the sun to the other end of the sun, 864,000 miles across. Our Earth, not North Carolina, not Bennett, not the U.S. If you were to take our Earth, you could fit 1 million of our Earths inside the sun. 1 million of them. So it's a big star. The temperature at the core of the sun, the reason we don't go, 28,799,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's a hot, hot place. So the sun is light. The sun is essential for us to live. Understand this. The sun's not the light of the world. Jesus is. The sun were to go away, we will still spiritually live forever. Jesus were to go away, spiritually, we are doomed forever. We cannot live without the Lord Jesus Christ. We must stay close to Jesus. Number one, Jesus the Son, He illuminates. Number two, Jesus the Son, He eliminates. Look at the next phrase. I am the light of the world. Notice the response. He that follows me shall not or will not walk in darkness. The word follow in the Greek language originally, it was used two ways. It was used of a soldier who would follow his commander. Those long battle marches, strange lands, strange terrains, the mountains, the deserts, the rain, the snows. They just kept following that commander. It didn't matter what it was. The hills, the valleys, they just kept following him. Yelling orders, they just kept following him. Word follow was used of a slave following his master. Wherever that master went, the slave would go, and whatever his master told him to do, he was to do. Look back at the verse. He that follows me does what I tell him to do. Shall not or will not walk in darkness. Now that makes me want to get out my hanky and wave it. Hey, in a world that's eat up with darkness, I do not have to live in a dark world. Have you ever been in a place where the lights went out and it was not familiar with you? It's dark. And you're thinking, how am I going to get out of here? You're thinking, where's my light? Where's my phone? Let me turn it on so I can see. What if there's no flashlight? And what if there's no phone? And it is pitch black. How are you going to get out of there? Here's how you get out of there. Follow Jesus. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. Here's the problem. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we've heard of Him, clear unto you, that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. You can't be washed in the blood of the Lamb and wearing clothes of filthiness. Do you hear what I said up there in the balcony? Yeah, top row of the balcony. You can't be washed in the blood of the Lamb and hanging out in the dark rooms of the world. You can't be following close to Jesus and living in darkness. One or the other. You can't serve. James says, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love one, hate the other. Cling to the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. So we're living in a world that's getting dark. We got a choice to make. We're going to choose to live with the cultural elite, the woke, the dark crowd, or with the light crowd, with Jesus. And that's what you got to decide. And it shows your heart. Have you ever gone out back somewhere and there was a scrap wood, maybe pile of wood, and you got maybe that plywood and you turned it over or you grabbed it and you gonna threw it on the trailer to haul it off? What was under that wood? Nastiness. Bugs. Rodents. Roaches. Hopefully there were no snakes. What happens when you bring the light to all of that darkness and all those rodents? They scatter. They run for darkness because they don't like the light. That's what the verse is saying. Look at it again. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. You bring light to the situation. All of those people who like darkness, they scatter. You're a Jesus follower. You want to follow him. You want to stay close to him. You want to be as close to him as you possibly can. If you're not a Jesus follower, you want to get into those shadowy places. Those dark places, those wicked places. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're not saved. So Jesus, he kicks over the fake religion of the Pharisees. What do? The same thing the roaches do. They scatter. They run for cover. They get out of there. You ever go back to that area, you get rid of the old wood, the old plywood, go back like a week or two later, you know what's happened? Growth. Because light has come there, health has come there, and now it's healthy and it's growing. That's what Jesus said. No, it was nasty, it was gross, it was dark, yeah. But if you take light into that dark, gross, abandoned place, it will yield fruit. So you say, oh, our culture is dying, our culture is dark, our culture is decaying, our culture is wicked. Yeah. But if you go uncover that dark place, I don't care the most wicked, the most God-hating, the most decaying culture, you take the light of the gospel in there, it will grow and it will bloom. You just got to take genuine, sincere Jesus in there and it will grow. That's what happens. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, two things happen. People who love the darkness, they scatter. People who want life, they follow him. Number three, Jesus activates. Look at the last part of the verse. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Thirdly, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. We've had chickens ever since we moved here. Even before in Georgia, we had chickens. And when we had the younger chickens and trying to help them grow and start laying eggs, they told us we had to get some type of special light that would give them the proper light that they needed to give forth the eggs that we wanted. Light that would give them, you could say, life-bearing eggs. So I paid too much money and I bought that really expensive light. Well, look what the verse says. When you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. Okay? So he says, I'm not just going to eliminate darkness, but you'll have the light, but not just some old run-of-the-mill ordinary light, but the light of life. Life-giving light. Anybody go over here to the cemetery at night? Just go walking through the cemetery across the street at night? I'm not a fan of cemeteries at night. They're creepy. They're dead. They're eerie. I don't go over there, and I know where I'm going, and I just don't like cemeteries. Night, dark. Listen to this. Jesus brings life. He brings the light. Light. Found this verse, Psalm 56, verse 13. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? I love that. Deliver my soul from death. But then you're going to deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of living. So Christians, I mean, this is, why should in a woke world, in a dark world, why should we stay so close to Jesus? Because he gives us light that is abundant life. Christians should be the most happy people, the most joyous people, the most praising people, the most smiling people, the most cutting up, telling jokes people, because we have light. And the life of Christ, when everybody's walking around depressed, discouraged, man, it's hot outside, I got Jesus. It may be hot outside, but good night. I got something that gives me life and light and joy. What would happen to us physically if we didn't have light? Have you thought about that? We would freeze. Some of you today, in 100 degrees weather, you would say that would be a good thing. If we did not have the sun, literally, we would freeze. We would starve. There would be no plant life for us to eat. We would starve to death. Animals would freeze. We would have nothing to eat because they would be dead. If we did not have the sun, the S-U-N, we would die. The world needs light to have life. Friend, we need Jesus the light to have spiritual life. How do we make it in a culture that is woke and dark and depraved? Jesus the life.
I said, preacher, what are you telling me I need to do about my job?
Follow hard after Jesus.
Yeah, but what about my marriage? My marriage, I married a crazy dude.
Follow hard after Jesus. You stay close to Jesus. He'll help you deal with that crazy dude.
Yeah, but what about my kids?
You just follow hard after Jesus. He'll help you deal with those kids.
You are the light of the world. Jesus is the big light. We are the moon that reflects him. You are the light of the world. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. Don't hide your light, but on a candlestick giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men.
They may see your good works. That's to say they may hear your good words. They may see your good works. They need to hear your good words. But after they see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
I would like to live in my grandpa's day. The great revivals, the tent meetings. Yeah, I would have liked to live in those days. But my day is darker than my grandpa's day. And you know what? What happens when it's really dark? The light shines brighter. They need to see the light of Christ. So therefore, let's take the light of Jesus and just let it shine. Hank Williams Sr. I didn't follow him. He battled deep, deep, deep depression. One of the things that would help him deal with his depression was Minnie Pearl would sing to him. Been out on the West Coast. They did their show. He came back and he was just depressed out of his mind. She did. There was one song, you know what it is. One song that would always cheer him up. I saw the light. I saw the light. She did it. She sang it. She sang it to the best of her ability. Oh, Hank. Hands buried in his head, buried in his sand. But there ain't no light. But there ain't no light. Sorry, Hank Sr. I got news for you. Got good news for you. There is light. There is light. His name is Jesus. And if you will follow him, you'll not walk in darkness. For he's not just life. He is light of life. He gives you light and he gives you life. Life for this life and eternal life. Folks, listen to me. Tough times that we're living. Our world needs us. Your world needs you to be a light bearer. No time to be going poochy lip. No time to be going carnal. No time to go and acting like the devil's crowd. It's time to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ and not walk in darkness, but to have the light of life resounding all over you and drawing people to the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. Our prayer is that God's Word has ministered to your deepest need and answered many of your questions about life. Truth for Today is only able to broadcast on this station through the regular prayers and financial support of God's people. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner of Truth for Today? You may mail your gifts to Truth for Today, Post Office Box 104, Bennett, North Carolina, 27208. If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please request this sermon with your donation of any amount. If you would like to donate by credit card, you may call 336-581-3170. Be assured that God's Word has the answer for your every need. And join us next time for Truth for Today.